Begin the current daf, Masechet Kedushin, daf Mem Gimel. Begin on the bottom of daf, Mem Beis, two lines up at the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we are taught in our Mishnah, opening up this parak, Ha'ish Mekadesh, Ba'u B'Shluchai, Ha'isha Miskadeshes, Ba'u B'Shlucha, that there's a halachic concept called agency, Shlichas, that a Shlich could be Kamaisei. It's just like the person themselves, you have to give the Kedushin, the woman has to receive the Kedushin. You can create a Shlich to be just like you and function and accomplish what you have to do. So the Gemara said the sources for each area of halacha that has this concept, well, we find it by Chuma, we find it by Kachim, we find it by Kedushin, we find it by Gerushin, and we brought the sources for all those things. But then the Gemara asked, if there really is such a halacha of shlichas, then why do we find, for example, in the Mishnah in Baba Kama that tells you that if you send a fire with someone else, that's a pikeach, a mentally competent person, that if he's an agent and caused a fire, that he's going to be responsible. Why don't you say shlich shalom kamaisa, that the one who sent him is responsible? So that the Gemara said, ain't shlich ledvar avera. When it comes to a sin, which damaging someone else's property with a fire is considered a sin, being a mazik, that we don't say that we consider the shlich as the mishalech. There's no halachic concept of shlich shalom kamaisa. Now that the Gemara asked, but then we find, however, in the Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah, that when someone sends someone else to be mail in Hektish by mistake, that then the liability is going to be for the one who sent him for the Mishaleach, and you see you're saying Shliach even Ledvar Avera, where it's prohibition to deconsecrate, to misappropriate items of Hektish. That the Gemara said that's the halacha Me'ilah is different, because we have a Gezeres Shavah from Truma Chet, which just like by Truma, it works through a Shliach, so too the Gezeres HaKasav tells that Me'ilah works through a Shliach, but that's the exception to the norm. Usually you say Divrei Rava, Divrei Tama, Divrei Mishaimin, that there is no halacha of Mishaleach when it comes to Dvar Veir, because you have to listen to Hashem and not the one who sent you. And therefore we don't see you as an extension of that person. Then the Gemara asked, but then why didn't you learn that from Me'ilah? You have a halachic precedent in the Torah that tells you shlich ledvar avera, learn out from Me'ilah that there is a halach of shlich ledvar avera. Now the Gemara answered, as we see, there's another halach in the Torah that's also shlich ledvar avera. Specifically, what's called shlichas yad, where you touch someone else's things that he kept a deposit by you. You're a shemachinim. You're watching it for free. The halach is you're not allowed to touch it. If you do touch it, then you become liable, even in einsin. Even liability is like someone that borrows something. Because here you are, you're using his thing without permission. On that we taught, it says in the Pasuk, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, what's the superfluous word to say that you're going to be responsible for any liability? It's coming to say that if you moved his item, even not through yourself, but rather through your Eved or your Shliach, that even that's going to be make you liable for Shlichas Yad, and you're going to be liable for all Einzin, even though as a Shemachim you should only be responsible for only Pshias, for negligence. This you're going to be responsible because you touched it, even though you didn't do it yourself, even though it was through a Shliach. So you see that's another halacha in the Torah of shlich ledvar avera, that it will be attributed to the mishaleach. So since you have Beis Ksuv Mabom Ke'echa, two psukim, that of Me'ilah and that of shlich ziyad, that are telling you the same halacha of being a shlich ledvar avera, that is ein melamdin. They cannot teach now to the whole entire Torah. Because why do you need two psukim saying the same idea? It's obviously coming to tell you because you cannot learn out every time you would want to say shlich ledvar avera, you would have to mention it separately in the Torah. So since there's two psukim saying the same idea, that's why we don't say to learn out from there, and that's why we'll still remain with the svar, with the logic of ein shlich ledvar avera. Because divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, when Hashem says something and someone else tells something to contradict that, to do an avera, that divrei mishem, who do you listen to? You listen to Hashem, and you cannot be considered as an extension of the mishalech. And that's what ein shlich ledvar avera. So that's why Gemara continues. And says that answer of the Gemara is hanich lebeis hil. That works very well according to Beis Hil, because as we had brought in this previous brisa, which illustrated this halacha of shlich ledvar avera by a pikadin, by shlichas yad, that was only according to Beis Hil how he interprets that pasuk. Ela Beis Shammai demok milei lahaykra b'machshava kamaisa. But according to Beis Shammai, as we quoted in the previous daf on the bottom of the Amud, that Beis Shammai learns out the word al kol dvar pesha to teach a different halacha, not to say that you could be violating the halacha of shlichas yad, of touching the deposit kept by you through a shliach, but rather to tell you that even just thinking about touching it is already like you touched it, and even just saying you want to touch it will make you liable as if you touched it for einsin. So according to Beis Shammai, as we continue on top of Megillah and Aleph, so then we're back to the question. So neilav minei. So why don't we learn out that there's a shlich ledvar avera from the halacha of Me'ilah? Because there are no basics of Mabom Kechen. Beis Shammai does not have a halacha of shlich ledvar avera by shlich ziyad of pikadon. And therefore, since there's no halacha of shlichas, there's only one source, and therefore they should teach regarding the whole Torah that there is a shlich ledvar avera. So the Gemara answers, you're right. It's not because you have me'ila and shlichus yad, but it's because there's something else. Pshem, they have me'ila, tevicha, u'mechira. Because you have the halacha of me'ila, and you have the halacha of what's called tevicha u'mechira, when you steal something, and then you slaughter it or you sell it, where then when you steal something and you're caught, you're liable for what's called kefal, for double the amount of what you stole. When you do tevicha u'mechira, when you slaughter or you sell it, then you're actually chayiv for four or five times that amount. Now, those are shnei ksum abom ke'echad. Then you have two halachas, two psukim, coming to say the same concept as the Gemara will explain of saying that there is a shlichut v'avera, and therefore v'chol shnei ksum abom ke'echad emalamdin. So since you have two psukim teaching the same thing, then they can't come to teach. Meaning Beis Hillel has the shnei ksum abom ke'echad is shlichus yad pekadin and me'ila. Now Beis Shammai doesn't have that halacha of shlichus yad pekadin, but he has a different halacha that's also saying shlichut v'avera. And since it's saying more than one time in the Torah, which is unnecessary, it's coming to tell you that it cannot teach elsewhere. So the Gemara explains, Me'ila hadamar. Me'ila, obviously, as we mentioned, as we learned from Truma, that there is a halach of shlichas by Me'ila, even though it's a dvaver. Now the Gemara says, and tvichu mechir mahi, so what's the halacha of when you steal something and then you slaughter that thing that you stole or you sell it, that the Torah penalizes you four or five times the amount, depending if it's a sheep or an ox, that it's going to be four or five times that amount. How do you know that that sin of doing tvichu mechir and the penalty that the Torah is giving you, that will apply even through a shliach? That the Gemara says amakra, because the pasuk says and Shmuel says follows, and the Gemara brings a few different sources where you see that the halach of tvicha mechira is even through a shliach. First interpretation is because the pasuk says in Shmuel utavachay oimachare, that if the guy who stole the animal then slaughters it or sells it, now we learn the comparison from slaughtering and selling, which is ma mechira, just like selling can only happen al yidei achar, through someone else. In other words, the one who stole it is going to sell it, and you need to have another person to purchase it. Aftavicha ali de'achar. That comes to teach you that so too the aspect of slaughtering is also through someone else, meaning even if a shliach slaughters it, the ganav is going to be liable for the payments of four or five times that amount. Because if selling is through someone else, which obviously needs someone else, so then slaughtering is also through someone else, and therefore you see shlichat va'avera as a second source, not just by me'ila, but also by tvicha mechira. Or another source that tvicha mechira is even through a shliach, the Beir Bishmol Tana, and the Yeshiva Bishmol they taught in the Braisa, says oy. It says utvachai, that he slaughters it, oy machare, or he sells it. That oy, where it could have just said utvachai umachare, where a lot of times a vav can mean or, that he slaughters it and he sells it, it doesn't say that it says the extra word oy, or is l'rabbis as a shliach. That extra word comes to include, even if it's done through an agent, again, the same concept of shliach advavera. Or the Bechizkiya Tana, in the Braisa of the Yeshiva of Chizkiya, they taught that it says in the Pasuk, Tachas. Meaning it says he has to pay four or five times the amount, Tachas Hashar, in place of the ox that he had stolen and then sold, or Tachas Haseh, in place of the sheep. Now, one of those Tachases are superfluous, because just say Tachas Hashar V'Haseh. Meaning we're talking about each individual animal. Why does it have to say the word Tachas twice? That's L'Rabbis Es HaShlech. That's coming to include the shliach, meaning if you appoint a shliach, tachas, in place of you, to slaughter, then the ganav is going to be liable, even though it was done through a shliach. So three different interpretations where you see from this halacha of tvicha mechira, that's even through a shliach, that the slaughtering can be done through someone else, and still the ganav, the mishaleach, is going to be liable for that penalty of four or five times that amount. So again, that's what the Gemara says. Even according to Bishama, you have Beis Ksum Abom Ke'echad, and therefore Eim Alamd, and that's why you can't learn that there is a halach of Shlichat Va'avera. And therefore, when, let's say, the Shlich does an Avera, it's not going to be attributed to the Meshalech, to the one who sent him. Rather, the Shlich himself is considered as if he did the sin, and he has the liabilities. Now, so the Gemara asks, Hanich Lamanda Amar Shnei Ksum Abom Ke'echad Eim Alamd. So the Gemara's answers, both for Beis Hillel and both for Beis Shammai, that works well, that there's only two exceptions in the Torah, or three, that of the halach of Me'ila, and either of Shlichas Yad HaPekadon, or the halach of Tvicha Mechira, where that's where Shlichat Va'avera. But everywhere else you can't learn from them, because they're two psukim saying the same concept, and therefore you can't learn from them. That's according to the one who holds that concept. But according to the opinion which you mentioned on previous daf, that hold that even when you have two psukim saying the same idea, that you could learn from them throughout to the rest of the Torah. So then the question's back. So then learn out from Tzvicha Mechira and Me'ila, where you see Shlichat Va'avera, so too you should say the same thing for all halachas in the Torah. So for example, like when you send someone to fire, then the Mishaleich should be Chayiv. So that the Gemara answers, according to that opinion, that you could learn that from two psukim. Gali rachmana b'shchut dechutz. There's a different reason why we're not going to learn shleichet v'avera. Because the Torah reveals to you by the halacha of shchut dechutz, which is when you have a carbon, it has to be slaughtered. The avodas have to be done in the azara, in the Beis HaMikdash. If you slaughter it outside, then that's an isser in the Torah of slaughtering it outside of the area. Now the pasuk says in Meikra, someone that's going to do that, dam yichashiv l'ishahu, for that person that's going to be considered as blood, dam shafach, he has spilled blood. Now, it says, le'ish hahu. What do you mean for that man? Of course, we're talking about that man that did this issa of shchut echutz, of slaughtering it outside, this carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what it's coming to say is, hu v'loy shluchai. It's specifying him and not his agent. So you see that it can't be, when you're doing in the Dvar Veira, which is slaughtering a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash, it's got to be you, not someone else, not a shliach. Now, the Gemara asks, ashkechan ga b'shchut echutz. Okay, the only thing you have is sources regarding slaughtering outside of the Beis HaMikdash. B'chol ha-Torah menalon, how do you know the same thing applies to the whole entire Torah, that there is no shlichut v'aver? Maybe only b'shchut echutz is no shlichut v'aver. So the Gemara says, what are you going to say? The yalef m'shchut echutz, because you'll learn out. Just like shchut echutz is not v'aver, and there's no shliach, so too for the whole entire Torah, that when it's a v'aver, you cannot make a shliach. But then the difficulty is, why? Instead of learning out as you want to propose, that we'll learn out for Shechut Echutz, that you can't make a Shlecht V'Avera, Nelev Mahanach. Why not? Learn from those two other Pesukim, by Me'ila and by Tvich Mechira, where you see that there is a Shlecht V'Avera. And if you're of the opinion that holds that you could learn out from two Pesukim saying the same idea, then learn from there. Why learn out from Shechut Echutz? So that the Gemara says, Hadr Kas Rachmana. The Torah then repeats again in that same Pasuk of Shechut Echutz, it says, V'nichres Ha'ish Hahu. That man, the man that did shchut echutz, the one that slaughtered the carbon outside of where he's allowed to slaughter it, he's going to get karis, his life is going to be cut short. Now, if that term hahu, that man, is not teaching anything regarding the halacha itself, because we already know it's talking about that man, it already said one time hu, that means to say him and not his shliach. Why is it repeated again ha'ish hahu? So if it's not coming to teach regarding the halacha of shchut echutz, t'neyu inyan l'chal tarah kula. So then we'll apply it, that it's coming to teach us regarding the whole entire Torah. It's repeating again ha'ishahu to say that, look, when you're doing a dva'avera, it's only when you do it and not when someone else does it for you, that ain't shliach l'dva'avera. And that's why it's repeating it. Now, the Gemara, however, asked now, okay, so that's where if you hold that when you have two psukim saying the same idea that you would be able to learn, so then why are we not learning from Me'ila and Tzvich Mechira? Because by shchut echutz. So why learn from shchut echutz and not by those two? Because Shchut Echutz says it not just once, but says it twice. Why say it twice? Once to teach you by Shchut Echutz, that ain't Shlichut V'Avera, and then it repeats again the Ishahu to say that that applies to the whole entire Torah. It's only you when you do the Avera and not your Shlich. But now the Gemara asks, Olamandam Mishnei Gesum Abam Keachat Eimalamdin. But according to the one that holds, that generally, when you have two Pesukim saying the same idea, that then you cannot learn, and therefore they held, as we explained previously in the Gemara, when you have Me'ila and Tvicha saying that there is a Shlichut V'Avera, you cannot learn from there because they're saying the same idea. So if you can't learn from there, so as we said in the previous daf, out of logic, we'll say that there is no Shlichut V'Avera because it's very logical for us to say that when you have Hashem saying something and this other person telling you to do something which contradicts Hashem, which is an Avera, that who do you listen to? You listen to Hashem. So that would make sense. Based on Svaro, if you have no sources, because you can't learn enough from Me'ila and Tvicha Mechira because they're saying the same thing, so we would say that ain't Shlichut V'Avera. Now, if that's the case, according to that opinion, Hani Hahu Hahu my Darish Behu, so what do they use? As we said, by Shchut Echutz, there's these extra terms. Hahu, Hahu, it says it twice. So we said, okay, according to the one that says you would be able to learn enough from Me'ila and Tvicha Mechira, so that's why we need Hahu Hahu to teach ain't Shlichut V'Avera. But according to the one that says that you cannot learn out from two psukim saying the same thing, so what do you need ahu ahu for? We don't need a source by shchut echutz to tell you enshlichut v'avera. We know misvara. We know from logic enshlichut v'avera from divrei rav divrei tam divrei mishaymin, and we don't need it to come to exclude from not to learn from Me'ila and Tvicha Mechira because we can't learn from there anyways because it's big sum abom keachad. We only said we need ahu ahu according to the one that says that you would be able to learn from two psukim saying the same idea. But if you cannot, what do you need ahu ahu for? So the Gemara says you're right. It's to teach other halachas. Chad lemuute shnaim sha'ichzin besakin b'sheichetin. One hahu would be saying that it's coming to exclude if two people are holding onto the knife and slaughtering this carbon out of where it's allowed to be slaughtered, to say that it's only hahu, him, singular, one person, not to say, and not a shliach, because that we know in shlichut v'aver, But it's coming to say if two people are doing it, that then they're going to be exempt from a karmachatos of shchutei chutz. And v'chad, and another reason why repeats a second time iha ishahu, is to say who, him, v'loy anus. And not if he was under duress, or if he was forced to do it. Because the word ahu sounds like that's what's called bahaviyasai. He was totally present. He was in his right frame of mind, and that he wasn't being forced to do it. So to hu v'loy shagig, meaning him, and not when he did it by mistake, where he wasn't totally there. Hu v'loy muta, him, and he wasn't, it didn't make an error, meaning he thought that he's allowed to and really wasn't allowed to. So that's what these two different terms come to say. One, hahu is coming to say hahu, him, and not when two people are doing it. And also who, when he's totally there and not when he's not totally present, when he's anus or he's shaygig or he's mutter. Now, v'idach, however, the other opinion, what do they do? Because they're really learning out from ahu ahu to say that ein shlich dva avera by shchutei chutz and l'chol tera kula. So how do they know these halachas that we said for this mandama? Mehu hahu. They know from the fact that it could have just said ha'ish hu, and it could have said ishahu both times. Why say hahu, the extra hey? That comes to teach both things. The who would be saying ein shlich dva avera both here by shchutei chutz and l'chol tera kula. And the extra hey by both times comes to say these two halachas of that it has to be one and not two people, and him and not when he's anus, muta, and shaykik. Now for idach, however, the other mandam would hold huahu loy darish. They don't expound to say that what the extra hey would make it into a separate drush over each word. They don't have that. And therefore, you only have one word hahu and another word ahu, which one comes to say the halacha of it can't be two and that it can't be an anus. But again, they don't need it to say ein shlich dva avera because they're anyways not learning from Tzvicha Mechira and Me'ila because they're being suma bom ke'echad, and therefore we would know based on logic alone from Svara that ein shlich dva avera, and therefore those halachas of hahu by shchutei chutz are coming to teach different halachas unrelated to ein shlich dva avera. But that's the conclusion of this Gemara's discussion regarding that, according to all opinions, you know ein shlich dva avera. Now, however, on this the Gemara asks, v'had d'tani. But this that we learned in the Braisa as follows. Ha'im l'shluchai tzei hargas ha'nefesh. If someone tells his agent, he hires a hitman, and he says, go kill that person. So the halacha is, as we said up until now, hu chayiv b'shluchu pater. He's liable, and his agent is going to be, is the one who sent him is going to be exempt. Meaning the one who killed the murderer is chayiv. The one who sent him is exempt, as we said, because ein shlich dva avera. What do you mean he told me? What do you mean he told you? Hashem told you not to do that. Divar rava, divar metalvim, divar mishayimim. That's the opinion of Tanna Kama. But Shameh hazakon oimim mishum chage hanavi. Shameh the elder said in the name of Chage the prophet. Sholchav chayiv, the one who sent him is liable. Shenema, and he quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which this was Nashon hanavi telling David HaMelech regarding the fact that he caused the death of Uriah. He said, Oisei harakta b'cherev b'nei Ammon, you have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. So you see, says Chage hanavi, that David HaMelech was considered as if he killed Uriah, even though he didn't kill him, he just caused it. He had other people go ahead and cause him to be killed. Now the question is, my time of the Shammai Zaken, what's the reason of Shammai Zaken? We just explained, according to all opinions from whatever the source is, that in Shlich Dva Avera, why does Shammai Zaken say that the Mishaleach is considered liable, that there is Shlich Dva Avera? So the Gemara says, because Ksavar, the Shammai Zaken, Chag HaNavi held, that actually, when you have two psukim saying the same idea, you could learn from there. So therefore, actually, you do learn from Me'ila and Tficha that there is a Shlich Dva Avera. Moreover, when it says Hahu those two times by the halacha of Shchutei Chutz, that's not coming to say Ein Shlich Dva Avera. Rather, one is coming to say to exclude when two people are holding onto the knife at the same time, and the other one's coming to exclude when the person isn't honest. And Vahu Hahu Leidarsh. And Beis Shammai does not expound that the extra hay comes to teach a new halacha. So therefore you really have the source of Shlich Dva Avera. You don't have anywhere that tells you that ain't Shlich Dva Avera besides the Svara, but the halachas of Mi'ila and Tzvicha Mechira tell you that there is a Shlich Dva Avera. And Shchutei Chutz does not come to exclude from that because he learns those two ahus, not as hu hahu, only two halachas of ahu ahu, which comes to exclude other halachas of Shnaim Sheches Mesaken and to exclude when it's honest. So you're right. Shammai Zaken holds there is Shlich Dva Avera. That's one interpretation in the opinion of Shammai Zaken. Vibay Seimo, or if you want, you could say Lo'ilum Darsh. Truthfully, that Shammai Zaken does Darshan not just Hahu Hahu, but also Hu Hahu, Hu Hahu. Now, so therefore you have four halachas, and therefore those four halachas actually would tell us that it's excluding Shnayim Sheechs Mesakin and Anus. And also it would tell us from the extra hay by both times that it's saying Ein Shlich Dvar Veir by Shchud Echot and also Ein Shlich Dvar Veir L'chal Tera Kula. Now, Umay Chayav, what does Shammai Zarkin mean over here when he says that the one who sends someone else to kill someone is going to be liable? It means Chayav B'dinei Shamayim. Of course Ein Shlich Dvar Veir, meaning the one who murdered is going to have the responsibility. But the one who sent him, there's no Shlich Dvar Veir, but it means in regards to heaven, the fact that you hired a hitman will make you liable in heaven, but of course here we don't really consider you as if you're liable for the murder. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation of Shammai Zarkin, Machlal, the inference is the Tanakama Saba. You're trying to say that, I mean, the Tanakama who disagreed with Shammai Zarkin said he holds Afilu Medina Shemaim Nami Pater, that even at the hands of heaven he's exempt, meaning heaven definitely considers all the causations and effects that a person causes. Of course, if a person tells someone to do a sin that causes the death of someone else, how could the Tanakama hold that you're not Chayv Medina Shemaim? If you're saying that Shammai Zarkin didn't really hold that you're Chayv because Ein Shlich Dvar Aveira, it's just Medina Shemaim, then how do we understand the Pinyan Tanakama? So the Rav Gemara modifies this second interpretation and says, "Dina Rabba v'Dina Zuta Ike Benayi." The difference between Tanakama and Shammai Zarkin is what's the extent of the liability in heaven by their judgment by someone that hires someone else to kill someone else. In other words, according to Shammai, there's what's called a Dina Rabba. You're going to get a huge punishment because on some level they're really considering as if you killed that person because you hired this guy. Now, of course, according to Tanakama, you're not going to get off scot-free. They're going to consider the fact that you were a pivotal player in causing the death of this person. It's just that you're not going to get as punished as if you killed them yourself, rather as someone that caused it. Beishamai says, Shammai Zarkin says that in Shemaim they're going to consider it as if you killed them. So of course, Ein Shlich Dvar Aveira, even according to Shammai Zarkin, is just that since you caused the death of someone else, in Shemaim they'll consider it as if you killed them. Ve'ibay same, or a third approach is, that actually Shammai Zarkin agrees that Ein Shlich Dvar Aveira, like the second Teretz had said. Now, although he's saying Chayiv, it doesn't mean just B'dinei Shemayim, but rather Shani Hasan, there it's different because it's regards to murder, as that was the case they were discussing, and that's actually the source that Shammai Zarkin had brought. The Golei Rachmanu, because the Torah reveals that by murder it's different, because Nasan HaNavi had told David HaMelech, Oysei harakta b'cherev b'nei Amon. You have killed him by the sword of the people of Amon. So you see that regarding murder, even though David HaMelech didn't do it himself, it's considered as if he did. That's going to be the exception to the law of Ein Shlich Dvar Aveira. There we will consider it as if you did it yourself. So either it's that Shammai Zarkin holds that there is Shlich Dvar Aveira, or holds there's no Shlich Dvar Aveira, but he means that you're Chayav B'Din HaShemayim, or it's actually that murder is an exception, and there it is considered as if you did it yourself. Now, V'idach, but the Tanakama, what do they do with the source of the pasuk that Chag HaNav is bringing, which seemingly it seems that even though David HaMelech didn't do it, he was being faulted as if he did murder Uriah. And then he actually interprets the pasuk the other way around. That when he says, you killed him, but you killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, what does that mean? So the Tanakama explains, Harei lecha kecherev b'nei Ammon. Your murder of Uriah is like you used the sword of the people of Ammon, which means, ma cherev b'nei Ammon in atanen shalav, just like when there's the sword of the people of Ammon. When they kill people from the Jewish people, you're not going to get punished. You didn't do it. They did it. If anything, you're trying to defend the Jewish people from the people of Ammon. So what Nosson was telling him, that it's going to be the same thing here. Af Uriah hachiti iat enan shalav, so too, the Uriah hachitet, which you caused his death, you're not going to be punished for it, because it's like when someone else killed him, here also, since you didn't do it, you're going to be exempt. Now, my time, what's the reason? Why is he not going to be punished for it if, seemingly, he did cause Uriah's death? So that's what Nosson was telling him, Moed b'malchus hava, because he rebelled against the monarchy, and someone that's Moed b'malchus is Chayav Misa, is liable for death, so he actually was deserving of death, and therefore says the Tanakama, not like Shammai HaZarkin. The pasuk is not saying that he was considered liable for the death of Uriah, he was actually being told that he was exempt, because you killed him with Chayav B'nei Ammon, just like there you're exempt here also. Why? Why was he exempt for having him murdered? Because he was deserving of it. Because the Kamali, because Uriah had told to David, as the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, he said, Va'adoyni Yoyev, that my master Yoyev, now that is called Merida. That's a rebellion, because you can't call someone else your master in front of the king. And he had said, my master Yoyev, and the Gersa is, Va'avde Adoyni, and the servants of my master, Apnei Hasad Achayinim, are resting on the field by saying in front of the king. And he actually even said it before he mentioned that David HaMelech was the Adon. He first mentioned Adoyni Yoyev, which was one of the underlings of David HaMelech, that was considered rebelling, and that's why he was chayav misa. And actually, that's why Tanakh Kama says there's no proof in that pasuk, because actually the pasuk is saying the opposite, that David HaMelech was exempt because he was deserving of the death. Now, Amar Rabbi qualifies regarding the first approach of how we interpreted Shammai HaZaken's opinion. And he says, Imtim Tzolayim, if you're going to say that when Shammai had said in this brisa that the Mishaleach, the one who sent the murderer, is going to be liable, that as we interpreted, that he holds actually Bedini Adam, we consider him as if he killed that other person, and because he learns out based Ksum Abom Ke'echad from Me'ila and Tvicha that there is a Shlich Vavera. Now, so on that says Rabbi, even if you're going to say that Savar Shammai, that Shammai holds Shnei Ksum Abom Ke'echad Melamdin, that you could learn that from two psukim of Tvicha Mechira, and moreover, Vuhahu Loi Darish, and he does not expound the extra hay by Huahu, and therefore he's only excluding from there the halacha of when two people do the Shchutei Chutz, and when he was forced, or he was by mistake, or he made an error. Hence, he only has sources to say that Shlich Dvar Veira, and that's how he holds the halacha. That's why he said the person's chayav for hiring someone else. Still says Rava, even according to that interpretation, Maida, Shammai HaZaken would agree, Ba'ayim L'Shluchei, if someone tells his agent, Tsei Ba'ol Esa Erva, go out and cohabit with that illicit woman, or va'achal esachelev, eat these forbidden fats. That halacha, even according to Shammai HaZaken, would agree, even though he holds that there is a shlich d'vavera, where the shliach, when he does the sin, it's not attributed to him, it's attributed to the one who sent him. In those cases, shehu chayiv. Even Shammai HaZaken would agree that the shliach himself is liable, the shalch of patra, and the one who sent him and told him, do this iser, that the one who sent him is going to be exempt. The reason being is because here the shliach is getting pleasure. He's doing a bia. He's eating something forbidden. As Rava says, Shalei mitzinu b'chol Torah kula, because we don't find anywhere in the whole Torah, zenen b'zem eschayif. Then one person could be getting pleasure out of a sin, and someone else being liable for that. So since this is different, it's not just doing an avera purely for the sake of someone who sent you. You want me to murder him, I'm going to murder him. There's no pleasure inherent to that. There, we're going to say that, okay, there is a shlich d'avera according to the first interpretation of Shammai HaZaken, that we're going to consider the Mishaleach liable. Here, however, where the sin is something that the person that was being sent is getting pleasure out of it, there he's going to be chayiv and the Mishaleach is going to be exempt. Continuing on these halachas of shlichis, again, which we had started with this perek ish mekadesh boi b'shlucha, which we brought the sources that there is shlichis by gerishin and by kedushin, which is the topic of our perek, the Gemara continues on these halachas of shlichis. Itma, we learned the following machloikis. Rav Amar, he says, shliach nasa eid. An agent can then go and become a witness. In other words, both according to the topic of our perek, which is regarding Kedushin, or whether if he was sent regarding monetary aspects to the creditor, he could then combine from being an agent to pay up the money to then being one of the witnesses to testify, where you need two witnesses, that it was paid up. Or even if, let's say, there were two shluchim, the guy said, the borrower sent two people, here, go ahead and pay this money to that guy. They went together. They can then later be the witnesses to testify to say that it was paid up to this guy. The agent could become the aid. Now, the Bei Reb Shila Amri and the Yeshiva of Reb Shila, they said that ain't shliach nasa aid. No, it's not true. The agent himself cannot become the witness to testify regarding the verification of this halacha, whether it be Kedushin or whether it be regarding Dinei Mamonos. So the Gemara says, my time at the Bei Reb Shila, what's the reason of the Yeshiva of Reb Shila? Why do they hold that a shliach cannot be an aid? We understand when you're a baldava, when you're one of the litigants, you can't testify, but here, he's an outside party, why can't he also be an aid? So the Gemara says, Ilei mishum deloy amalei. If you're going to say the reason why the shliach cannot become an aid is because the parties involved didn't tell him, havali aid, he didn't say, be for me a witness, he only told him, I want you to deliver it to this guy. I want you to give the kedushin to that woman. So since he didn't also designate him as a witness, so then you can't be a witness. But that the question is, El Meyata, but if that would be the case, then let's say Kiddush Isha Befnei Shnayim. If a man engages a woman in front of two people, V'loy Omalehem Atem Eidai, and he didn't tell them, be my witnesses to verify the Kiddushin that I'm doing, which a Dvar Erva needs to have two witnesses, if he didn't tell them to be my witnesses, Hachen Nami Dulav Kiddushin, would you entertain to say that it's not going to be a valid Kiddushin and because you don't have witnesses? But it's not true, you have witnesses. Two people did see. If they saw, then they could, of course, be witnesses. They could testify. You don't have to tell them to be my witnesses. Now, actually, Rashi does address, although the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chav Tesem and Aleph, says that you have to tell two people that are witnessing something, you should be my witnesses, says Rashi, that's only over there by what's called Eidei Hayda, witnesses who could verify that this person admitted that he owes money to that other guy. Now, the reason why over there he has to say, you're my witnesses, is because sometimes a person would admit to his creditor that he owes him a certain amount of money only because he wants to silence him and stop him from bugging him until a later point in time, even though that it really is not liable for him anything. So therefore, in such a case, someone that overhears this conversation can't testify that he says, I was there and they admitted he owes this money, because maybe he's really was just saying it to get this guy off his back, but really doesn't owe him anything. Until the guy says, this guy who's the debtor says to these people, you're my witnesses, I owe this guy money, then is where he's going to be chayiv, but in general not. But that's what Rashi is saying, but that's our Gemara's question. But in general, if it's not regarding admitting that you owe someone money, if you do something like being a kaddish, a woman in front of two people, of course you don't have to tell them being my witnesses. Just by being witnesses, they're witnesses. So then the question would be, how do we understand the yeshiva of Reb Shila that they hold that ain't shleich nasa aid? Why not? So good, you didn't tell him to be the aid, but you don't have to tell him. Just by virtue of being something that witnessed something, you can be an aid. So Ela Rav, the Gemara explains the machlik is as follows. Rav Amar Shleich Nasa Eid. Rav holds that an agent could become a witness because actually alumikoma limne lemilse. It actually makes it better. It's a better testimony if the one who did this, in other words, if a witness is testifying, said, I saw that this woman was engaged, or I saw that this creditor was paid up. So he's an outsider. He happened to have seen something. You don't necessarily know all the facts, but you're questioned to see if you got all the facts right. Says Rav, when the shliach himself, the one who executed the act, then says, I did this, there's nothing better than that to verify the authenticity of that this is what actually happened. Because he says, I did it myself. I know that this is true. And since he's an outside party, he's not the debtor himself, so of course it actually makes it better that the shliach is an aid. Of course the shliach could become an aid. Now, however, the Beir Shila Amri, the yeshiva of Shila, they disagreed and they said, no. Ein shliach nasa aid. An agent cannot become an aid. He says, you know why? Because Kivan the Amar, since the master said, as we mentioned this in the previous daf, Shlucha Shaladim Kamaisai, the agent actually becomes almost an extension. He's like the guy himself who sent him. Besides mitzvahs that have to be done with the body itself, for all practical purposes, he is that guy. Havalei Kegufei. He's like himself. Now, this is very interesting. Reb Shila is saying that just like a litigant can't say testimony because you're one of the involved parties, you need an outsider. Here the shliach is like the mishaleach. He is him. And just like the debtor himself can't testify that he paid up the money, because of course he's going to say that. You're the guy who owes the money. The shliach is the guy who owes the money because he is the guy who sent him. He is the shliach shaladim. Kamoitzah, literally, he's like the person himself. And therefore, says the yeshiva b'shila, that's why he can't testify, because he is the mishaleach himself. As there are stories like this where once Reb Kiva Egger sent Reb Shlomo Kluger to be by a wedding, and although he wouldn't stay long, he stayed the whole entire wedding. They asked him why. He says, because I am Reb Kiva Egger now. I am, just like when we do a mitzvah, we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shlichim, and we're like a part of Hashem because we're doing what He sent us. That's the same concept. You become the one who sends you, and therefore the yeshiva Reb Shila says that you can't testify because you are biased. Now you are the Mishaleach yourself. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara asks from the following Braisa on the opinion of Rav, who holds that a shliach could become an aid. The Braisa says, Amar l'shleisha. If somebody tells three people, Tzu v'kitru li ha'isha, go out and engage for me this woman. Now, says the first opinion, Echad shliach, v'shnayim eidim divrei b'sham, v'shamim hold. So, look, there's three people that you sent. One guy will be the shliach. He'll go ahead and give her the ring. The other two will be the witnesses. And great, you got yourself a kedushin, because you need two people to testify for Dvar Erva to create a Kedushin. Obisilah, they disagree. They say, no, Kulam Shluchim Hein. All of them, you told them to be Mekadosh, the woman for you. So all three are Shluchim, and Ve'ein Shlich Nasa Eid. And actually, a Shlich cannot become an aid, and therefore, you don't have a Kedushin, because all three are Shluchim, and now a Shlich cannot become an aid. Now, moreover, says the Gemara, Ad Kan Loi Pligi Ela B'Shleisha. The whole Machlokes B'Sham Esil was only when you tell three people to be Mekadosh. Where B'Sham hold, okay, look, you don't need three Shluchim. You only really need one guy to give the ring. So then you have another two people that they could then function as the Eidim. Now, Av B'Shnayim, but when you tell two people to be Mekadosh, a woman for you, Devei HaKol Loi, everybody, even B'Sham would agree that's not going to be a valid Kedushin. Because then you only have two people. Now, two people, so at least one of them is going to have to be a Shliach. Now, you only have now one left over to be an aid, and you have to have two aidim. Because the only reason why it's valid, even according to Beis Shammai, is because you had three. So then one could be the shliach, and then two could be the aidim. He didn't say that all three could be shluchim and aidim. So obviously everybody holds, not only Beisil, but even Beis Shammai, that ain't shliach nasa aid. That contradicts Rav, who said that a shliach could become an aid. That the Gemara says you're right. It's a machlokes tanoim, where obviously this opinion holds that ain't shliach nasa eid. But who da amaki hai tana de tanya? But Rav holds like the following tana of the following brisa. Reb Nosson Oimer, he says, he has a different interpretation of this machlokes b'shami b'sil. He says, b'shami oimrim shliach ve'eid echa. If you have two people, which one of them is a shliach and one of them is a witness, then they could testify regarding the kedushin, because obviously a shliach nasa eid. So the shliach can then become an eid. Now you have two eidim. Ubeisil oimrim, no shliach ushne eidim. If you would want to have this, you would have to have at least a shliach and two witnesses, meaning three people. Because when you send three people, then you could do, which was actually bishamay in the first version, then one could be the shliach and two people could be the eidim. Now, so therefore you do have an opinion that holds like Rav, that shliach nasa eid. But the Gemara asks, for Rav could be shamay? We don't usually paskin like Bishamai. So how does it really help Rav? It turns out that his halacha that he's paskining is like Bishamai, who he's the one that says Shliach Nasa Eid, but Beis Hillel holds ain't Shliach Nasa Eid. That's what he holds. You have to have three people, and with two people it wouldn't be enough. So the Gemara says, Epuch, Rav tells you that you have to switch around the attribution of the opinions mentioned by Rav Nosson, that it's actually Beis Hillel is the one that said two is enough, because Shliach Nasa Eid, and Bishamai was the one who he was being stringent and said that you need to have three. Now, actually, Rav Acha Barei de Rava Masne Ipcha, he actually has a different attribution of this machlekes Amaram that we brought before. That's actually, it's Rav Amar Ein Shliach Nasa Eid. Rav was the one that holds that a shliach cannot become an aid. Now, according to that interpretation, Rav would actually not need to switch around the opinions of Bisham Bishil in the second Brisa, and actually that it was Beis Hill that held that you need to have three, because actually Ein Shliach Nasa Eid. And it was the Beir B'Shila Amri that Shliach Nasa Eid, and it was the Yeshiva of B'Shila that they said that a Shliach could become an Eid. Now the Gemara concludes, V'Hilchas and Halacha is Shliach Nasa Eid. A Shliach could become an Eid, and therefore, let's say if you tell two people, go ahead and be Mekadosh a woman for me, these two Shluchim could function either one as a Shliach or two as a Shliach, and then they could become Eidim, and that's what the Gemara says. Therefore, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Amar L'Shnaim, if you tell two people, Tzu V'Kach Eli Yaseisha, go out and be Mekadosh a woman for me. So, hein shluchav, these people who are your agents to go ahead and do the kedushin, hein ediv, they're the same people that could be the witnesses to testify that the kedushin happened. So they could do the kedushin and then testify regarding the kedushin. Because as we said, a shliach nasa eid, the agent could also become a witness. Now, says Rava, moreover, not only does this apply to kedushin, it also applies v'chein begerushin, same thing as by divorce. If let's say he sent a get to his wife through two people to deliver it, they could not only be the shluchim, they could also be the eidim to testify that the gerushin happened. And as we continue on to Amud Beis, v'chein b'dinim amanus, same thing applies to monetary law. If let's say he sent two people to deliver the money that he owes to his lender, to his creditor, through two people, those two people that executed the shlichas could then be the witnesses to testify that it was paid up to the malva. Now the Gemara says utzricha, and Rav had to say all these three halachas of kedushin, gerushin, and dinim amanus. Why? The Yashmin B'Kedushin, had we only said that the Shlichim themselves could become the Eidim, Mishum de la Mester Kasi, because creating the Kedushin for this guy is actually causing her to be forbidden on everyone else. And therefore, why would they lie? Why would they distort the truth to make her forbidden on them and everyone else falsely? So we would believe them if they're saying that they actually did execute the Kedushin and they could be witnesses to verify that fact. Aval Gerushin, but regarding divorce, where he said, go divorce my wife, it could be that maybe they didn't do it. But they would testify that they did it. Why? We should maybe be concerned that maybe they desire this woman. So they'll lie. And they'll say that they did divorce so that she'll be considered divorced, that they can go ahead and get married to her. So that would be another level of a chiddush. Maybe there they wouldn't be believed. So that's what we're saying, that even there, they're believed. The shluchim themselves are believed to say that she was divorced. Now, v'yashmin and gerushin, and if we would say the second halacha that they're believed even by gerushin, we would say mishum de itzel beitrei leichazia, because a woman is not fit to marry two people. Now, since they're two people, they're not really going to lie, because what are we going to do? We're both going to lie. Well, who's going to get her? If we both desire her, if one guy desires her, the other's going to say, I'm not going to be party to your lies. If we do it, we'll testify. So therefore, there we would also say that we wouldn't suspect them for lying, because what are they going to gain? The woman can't be split in half between the two different people. And therefore, it's likely, and that's why we believe them, to say that they executed the gerushin and she really is divorced. Regarding the third category, regarding money, we could say that actually maybe they're not believed. Maybe they never really paid back the lender the money. And they'll testify that they did. Why? Because they'll split the money amongst themselves, what they got from the credit, from the debtor. Tzrichi, that's what I have to say, that even over there, these two people that were sent to go ahead and deliver the money to the Malva, since they are two people, they are believed to say that they're two witnesses who can verify that the money was paid up, which they themselves were the shluchim to pay up that money. Now the Gemara asked regarding this last halacha, Micah Savar, what does Rav Nachman hold regarding this last one that he said, V'chein bedinim amanis? Same thing applies to monetary law, that the shliach himself, these two people, could become the edim to verify that it was done, that it was paid up. What does he hold? As the Gemara explains, Ikesavar, if he holds, which is, this is a halacha, that's a machlekes, brought in Masechta Bava Basra and other places, if Rav Nachman holds, Hamalva chaver be'edim, if someone lends money to someone else in front of witnesses, there's Reuben and Shimon, and he has two people, look, you see, I'm lending him this amount of money. If he holds that Sarach Lepar Be'edim, if he holds like those who say that now the bar would have to pay up in front of witnesses, in other words, the bar is not believed to say, I paid you up. Because you have to have witnesses. I lent you in front of people, you have to pay up in front of people. If he holds that that's the halacha, so then the question really is how did Rav Nachman say that we believe the shluchim to say that they gave the money to the lender, but hani noigim be'edus ninu, they are biased. There's an alibi there. There's something that they're related. There's something that they're invested in the testimony that they would be saying. Why? De'i amri loy parane, if they would say, we didn't pay up the money to the lender, in other words, if they're not going to say, in other words, as Rashi explains, if they're not going to say that we testify that the lender got the money, then amaluhu, then the bar is going to tell the shluchim, paruni, pay me back what I gave you. Now, as Rashi explains this, because sometimes the borrower, the debtor, when he's giving the money to the shluchim to give to the lender, he's going to give it in front of witnesses to say, look, you see these two agents? I'm giving them this money to pay up the lender. Now, therefore, that would make them responsible in the same halacha of hamalva chaver be'edim tzarech lefar be'edim. They would have to exempt themselves, would have to have testimony to verify the fact that they paid up, either back to the borrower or they paid up to the lender. So the question then becomes is, they're invested over here. How could we believe them to say, oh, we paid the money to the malva, but you're negeya bedavar? The reason why we don't believe the bali din and the litigants themselves is because they're invested over here. You have to have an outside party that's not invested at whatsoever. Now, generally, you would say that the shliach, okay, he's an agent, he's not invested in this, but he was saying he is invested because the bar himself is not exempt until there are witnesses verifying that the malva got the money. Now, therefore, he is relying on them, who their testimony will be if he's going to be exempt or not. Now, moreover is that if they don't go ahead and testify that, they're going to be responsible for the money because they got the money as agents also in front of witnesses. So them testifying is negabidava. How do we believe them? Now, moreover, as the Bach adds on to the Girsa, he says, and v'iksav ha'malva es chaver be'edim, and if you're going to say that Rav Nachman holds that someone that lends money with witnesses, ein tzarech lefar be'edim, that you don't have to pay up in front of witnesses, well then hani edim lamali. Then why do you need these people to say the testimony? In other words, Rav Nachman is saying, so to b'dinim amanis, when the guy's paying back money to his creditor, that we will believe for testimony of eders that is paid up from the shluchim. Well, the question is both ways. If you hold that you have to pay back with edim, how do we believe them? They're negei bedaver. Because if they don't testify, so therefore you see that there's something that they're invested here to testify and, so to speak, lie if they have to. That's what we're concerned for, that they paid up the money to the malva. If they don't say that testimony, then the loiv is still going to be chayiv money to the malva, because ha-malva be'edim tzarech lepar be'edim, and therefore he's going to come to the shluchim and say, I also gave you the money in front of witnesses, and you guys owe me money now. And they don't want to pay him money, so then they might come to lie and say that they paid up the malva. Then the question is, so how do we believe them? And if you hold that ha-malva be'chaveiro ain't tzarech lepar be'edim, that you don't need witnesses, then why do we need them to say testimony? The loiva could just tell the malva, see ya, I paid you up. What do you mean? What's your testimony? I don't need testimony. What type of testimony? Hamava bechavere be'edim, even though you lent me with edim, I don't have to pay you up in front of edim. He's believed to say that I paid you up. So what? Then how would it apply at all this halacha of Rav Nachman that the shluchim are believed to be the edim if you don't need edim? So Ella rather says the Gemara la'olam kesavar. Truthfully, Rav Nachman holds hamava eschaver be'edim in the tzarich lafar be'edim. Someone that lends money to someone else, the borrower does not have to pay up with witnesses. Now, as the Bach adds on to the gears over here, v'i amar. Now, in general, if the borrower says ano pratich, I paid you up, well hachinami. So of course, then he'd be exempt, and there would be no necessity at all of the shluchim becoming edim because you don't need edim. But hacha ma'iskin on here, what are we talking about? The amalei paratich alidei shliach. The borrower's not saying, he's not claiming that he paid him up because he really didn't. He said, I paid you up through agents. I sent people to you. Ah, v'amotu lahachi. Now because of that, tzarech la'edim. So because of that, you need witnesses because who said you paid up? If you had a tainus bari, you're claiming for sure, I know I paid you up. So then we believe you. You don't have to pay up in front of witnesses. But you yourself don't know if you paid up the lender because you sent people to pay them. But how do you know they did it? So you need witnesses to verify that your shluchim paid up the lender. Now, however, the edim nami, but the witnesses themselves, and that's what the Gemara continues over here, umigu diyachli lamema, since the witnesses could say, ahadrinu lalaiva, that we gave the money back to the borrower, to the one who sent us. Now, when they make that claim, this debtor, who's, what are you guys talking about? You never gave money back to me. They don't have to swear that they paid it back to the borrower, because there's no what's called ma'ida b'miktis over here. They're not admitting halfway, oh, we give you back part of the money, some of it. No, they're just totally denying. They say, we gave you back the money. So they don't have to swear. Now, because they could say that they gave the money back to the borrower and they would be exempt themselves, so they're not invested anymore. Because there's an easy way out that they would be exempt. They'll just tell the borrower, we gave you back the money. So because of that, yecholin l'meimah parani l'malva. That is why they could say that we paid the money back to the lender and their testimony would be valid in the form of edus, because now they're not negeya be'edus anymore. They're not invested anymore. To say that the whole premise of the Gemara's question was based on that, what do you mean? How could we believe them that they paid up the lender? That's the contingency for them to exempt themselves. Because regarding the borrower, they're going to be liable for if they don't say that they paid him up. Well, that was only based on if you hold amava bechaver be'edim, tzarech lafar be'edim. That the Gemara is explaining, really we hold that you don't have to pay up in front of be'edim. Well, then the question then become, as the Bach had added on to the Gemara's question, then why do you need it, all this halacha v'chein debinim amnes? What's the purpose of testimony over here? You need testimony because the guy's not saying, I paid you up. He's saying, I had shluchim pay you up. Okay, now you don't know for sure that you need witnesses to verify that. So now the shluchim could be the witnesses. Why? Because they're not invested. They're not in the gei be'edus because they could exempt themselves anyway. They don't have to say we paid up the lender. We could just say we paid you up the borrower. And they wouldn't be chayav b'shvua, so that would be their out. Now that they're saying that, and that's what's called migui, since there would be a way out by just saying that it was they gave it to the borrower and they would be exempt. Now that they're saying they gave it to the lender, they're also believed to say that they did that, and that is why the halacha is going to be that the leiv is going to be exempt because of the shluchim becoming the edim themselves. However, says the Gemara, but that is according to the original halacha. But v'hashdu the talking rabban and shvuas heses, but now that the rabbis instituted what's known as the shvuas heses, which that rabbinic law is, although biblically, when someone's claiming to someone else, you owe me money, you have a deposit of mine, and he totally denies, so then that defendant is exempt. Rabbinically, however, is that even if he doesn't admit to part of it, the rabbi still mandated that because there's a claimant against you, you have to swear. So now says the Gemara, even if we're going to hold hamalva es chaver be'edim, if someone lends money to someone with witnesses, that ain't tzarech lafar be'edim, that the borrower doesn't have to pay him with witnesses, still now, halachically, the shluchim are negei be'edus. Why? Because if they would claim to the borrower, which was the premise of the Gemara's answer, that they'll tell the borrower, and that's why there's a migui, if they're believed to the borrower, and that's a way out, so when they say they gave it to the lender, they're believed too, but now things change. Because now, according to the halacha of Shvuas Heses, if they would tell the borrower, we gave the money back to you, they're going to have to swear. They're going to have to swear Shvuas Heses, even though they're totally denying the claim. Now, therefore, they're going to want to testify that the malva, the lender, had received the money from them. Why? Because they don't want to make a Shvuah. Shvuah is a very severe penalty in halacha. So they're going to want to exempt themselves from the Shvuah. So they'd rather cause a loss of money to the lender than swear falsely. which is, although that there is suspect regarding the halachas of money, and that's why we're saying that we should not believe them, as the Gemara is going to say that the money was paid up to the lender, they're not suspect regarding lying on the oath. An oath is a big deal in halacha. So therefore, it says the Gemara, actually halachically now what comes out is that regarding mamon, the third of the three categories that Rav Nachman mentioned, we actually will not say that the shluchim can be the witnesses to verify, because there's no more migu anymore. The whole migu is based on the premise where they can get it out by telling the borrower that we paid up. And because they're not saying that, and they're saying the lender received it, we believe them. There's no more migu. Migu is like a koyach hatayne. It gives you strength to support your claim. You don't have that anymore. You know why you're saying the malva received the money from you? Not because you're saying the truth. Oh, what do you mean? I could have just said the borrower, I gave it back to him. It's not true. If you would have done that, you would have to make an oath. And you don't want to make an oath. You'd rather cause loss of money to the lender. Now we don't believe you anymore. Because you are invested, you're negei badavar. Now, therefore, what the Gemara is going to conclude right now is that since they're not valid witnesses to cause a loss to the lender, so the halacha then is, as the Gemara says in Sefer Shvuas, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, there's a halacha called Chen V'nei Al Pinkasai. If let's say an employer owes money to his employees, so he tells a certain store to go ahead, here's money, and then my employees will come and put it on my bill and pay them up that way. So the halacha is that the storekeeper comes to the guy and he claims and he says, okay, I paid up your workers. So the halacha is that since the employer had trusted the storekeeper that he'll come and say, I paid up your workers, so now he has to compensate the store owner. But the lender, or let's say we'll call it the employee, the one who he owes money to, says that, well, I don't believe the oath of the storekeeper that he claims that he gave us the money. He never gave us money. He never gave us stuff from the store. So they swear that they didn't take anything from him. And actually now, the leiva, or the employer, whoever it is that owes the money, will actually have to end up paying the storekeeper, and he'll have to pay his workers too. He'll have to pay the guy he borrowed money from, and the guy who he had asked to pay up his creditor, his lender. So that's what the Gemara says as follows. Based on this halacha of Shvuas Hasas, we were not believing any more the shluchim. The halacha is as follows. Mishtabi hani edim. These are the shluchim, they have to swear the hadnale, that they gave the money to the lender. They have to swear to the leiva. They have to say that we paid up. Now, that will exempt them from him, because really they owe him a shvuas hasas. So they have to swear to him that we paid up. Now, umishtabe malva de lo shakale. But now the lender could swear that he didn't take money from them. And now the bar has to pay to the malva, and he doesn't get any money back from the shluchim, because they swear to him that we did give it, and the malva comes to him and says that we didn't get it. And that's the halacha that's brought him to the shvuas, that he actually will be losing from both sides, because he trusted the shluchim, and therefore they can get off by swearing that they gave it to him. And however, the malva could say, that's not true, I never got it from them, and there's no one to verify that, because as we said, that they're not believed as witnesses to create a loss for the malva, because they're not trustworthy, because they're negei edus, and therefore, halachically, we do not say v'chem b'dinei mamonis. And in regards to such a thing, when he gives two people money to pay up the lender, if the lender claims he didn't get the money, he's going to lose the money that he gave to the shluchim, and he's also going to lose, he's going to have to pay again to the malva. Now the Gemara continues by quoting our Mishnah that said, "Ish mekadesh es bitoy." A man could engage his daughter, as we said, the halacha of shlichas, both through himself or through an agent. He can receive the kedushin from a man to engage his minor daughter. Now, it will relate to the halacha of our Mishnah, the following discussion. It's not hostim. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, in a related topic, Naira Hamayrasa. Regarding one's daughter, that's a Naira, between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, who's engaged, which as Rashi points out, obviously the halacha would apply even to a minor under the age of 12. This that their machlekes, their Masechtas Gittin was talking about a Naira, was only to say the strength of the opinion of Rabbi Huda, who he says that even when she's a Naira, when she's already an adult, but she's just under 12 and a half, that only the father could receive the Kedushin. So the Mishnah says over there, Hiva Aviyah, her and her father, meaning either her or her father, Mekabel Nesgita, if she's engaged, which you need to get, if you're halachically engaged, meaning you had Kedushin already, so she could receive the get because she's already an adult, and she has what's called halachically a yad. She has das, and the Torah says in Devarim Chavdal, Benasim B'yada, you have to put the get in her hand. So she could receive the get from her, from a fiancé, from a chassan. And her father, who the Torah rewarded him to receive her kedushin, Now, the halacha, we always compare Yitzhi la'avaya, it says Yatzah b'haisa, just like he gets her Kedushin, he also, as it says, is beating the Satit Leshazeh, so he also gets her Gerishin, and then he can receive the get from the Chasim. Now, as Rashi points out, this is specifically from Erison, if she was only engaged, but had she been married, even if she'd only be a Naira, then it would only be her and not her father, because once she gets married, she's totally removed from her father's domain. So the Tanakhama holds when you have a Naira Hamarasa to receive her get, either she or her father could receive her get. Now, Amr Bihuda, he says, no, Ein Shtai Yedayim Zeches Ke'echad. You can't have two hands receiving a get for one person. Ella Avi Makabal Eskita, rather, he holds that only the father can receive her get, and even though she's an adult, the father has the rights and not her. She cannot receive the get to be divorced. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, that whenever you have a woman that cannot safeguard her get, then she cannot be divorced, meaning even through her father. Because since she's a shaita, she's a mentally deranged woman, so Rabbi Yitzchak says, it says in the Pasuk, B'shilcha Mebeisa, that he sends her away from his house, it's only a woman that gets sent away and doesn't come back. But here, where she's a shaita, she gets sent away and she still comes back. So as the Gemara explains, Yivamas Kofi Gimel Mebeis, she just can't be divorced. It's not because she doesn't have a yad, because the father does have a yad, it doesn't make a difference, she just doesn't qualify for B'shilcha Mebeisa, and if it's not going to be a valid gerisha. Now, regarding that Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following machlokes. Amr Shlokas, she says, Kemachlokes legerishin. Just like there's a machlokes over there between Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kam regarding gerishin, kach machlokes lekedushin. So too they disagree regarding kedushin. In other words, from the halachas of gerishin, we can infer that what they hold regarding kedushin, because we do compare b'yatza b'haisa, that according to Rabbanan, if she will get herself engaged as a naira, she will be engaged. Just like we say that for gerishin, she could get divorced. Whereas according to Behuda, he'll say that no, even when she's a Naira, only the father could engage her and not herself. But Rabbi Yechanam, he disagrees with Rish Lakish, and he says, Machlekis legerishin, the whole Machlekis is only regarding divorce. Avla kedushin, but when it comes to getting engaged, divri hakol aviyah b'lohi. Even the Rabbana would agree that only her father could receive her kedushin and not the Naira herself. So, Amr B'Yisra Rabbi Chanin says, my time with Rabbi Yechanam, leave the Rabbana. What's the reason for Rabbi Yechanam's opinion in the interpretation of the Rabbanan, that he differentiates between Kedushin and Gerushin? Why, according to Rabbi Yechin, would Rabbanan hold by Gerushin she could receive her own Gerushin? She does consider having a Yad, but regarding Kedushin, she can't receive it. So the Gemara explains, Gerushin de machnasis atzma. Gerushin, when she receives the get, she then brings herself back, l'reshus avia. That brings her back into her father's domain. So they will say that her father is agreeable to that she should receive the get for it to be a divorce, because actually now that's actually giving him back full authority over his daughter. So he's okay with his daughter receiving the get to bring her back into his domain. So therefore, bein hu bein aviyah, and therefore the halacha would be whether he receives the get or she receives the get, it's going to be a valid gerishin according to the Rabbanan. But kedushin demafkas asmer shos aviyah, but regarding kedushin, which that, if she receives it, if that's considered kedushin, it actually removes her from his domain. On some level, as we find by Hafaras Nadarim, he can't do it himself anymore, that aviyah b'lohi. That says, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, that is why the Rabban, according to interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, hold that it could be only the father and not her, because since the father is the one that has domain over the daughter, although by Gerushin he's agreeable to have her receive it, but he wouldn't be agreeable because it's actually removing her from his domain, and that's why it's going to be, even according to Rabban, by Kedushin, Avi of Elohi, only the father could receive it and not deny her herself.